This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Get ready for a mouth-watering journey as Nana Morrison's Soul Food expands to Port St. Lucie. Voted North Carolina's best soul food restaurant, Nana Morrison's has been dishing out homemade cuisine for over a decade. Their new location is now open. 10234 Southwest Meeting Street, Port St. Lucie in Tradition. Craving fried chicken, mac and cheese, or collard greens? Nana Morrison's Soul Food has something for everyone. Mark your calendars and be part of the grand opening celebration.
This is Hank Morrison, General Manager at Nana Morrison's Soul Food, now open, serving lunch and dinner every day. Come on in.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. Setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. And sorrows, where you lead me, I will follow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day.
Here's Dr. Daryl Orman with today's message.
Amen. Let's give each other a greeting today. Fist bumps, hugs, things you're doing. Please be seated. If you're our guest today, we'd like to invite you to fill out the little form that's in your cell publication to help us connect with you, and we're glad you're here today. I've got a praise this morning. When I came in, I opened the mail from Friday afternoon, and we got a card from one of our northern members. Dearest Joy to you and the church, wishing you a joyous holiday season, happy and healthy new year. Jim and I had many years of growth and happiness at First Baptist Church of Florida. Best of luck, God's help in the new year. And she sent a check for $5,000 for our project, and we praise the Lord for that. Amen. So we praise God for that. And then I want to remind you about our Bible studies coming up for the men and the ladies. If you want to sign up in the lobby, you can do that, or books are there. Information's here in the cell. And then we want to invite you to join us for our snack time this month over in the fellowship hall in between life groups and church. And we've been having a good turnout, some wonderful snacks and beverages, and a good time to fellowship and get to know each other better. This afternoon, we've got our life group leaders meeting, but it's actually not just for life groups. That's at 4 o'clock, and I'm going to be going over what Baptists believe. And from our Baptist faith and message, it's what we doctrinally believe. So if you'd like to come for that, we'd love to have you there for that time of teaching and discussion. And then also, we've got our Valentine luncheon banquet coming up, and this year it's country. Kim asked me a couple days ago, do I have any bib overalls? And I hope not, but I'll look, you know, and we're going to dress country and come. It's a luncheon this time, and want to encourage you to take part in that. The tickets are, I think it says $15 a person, and free childcare and pizza for the kids. And so I want to encourage you to take part in that and be a part of that with us as well. And then Wednesday nights, we're having our devotion and dinner. I want to invite you to have wonderful dinners this week. Last week was barbecue pork with coleslaw and everything. It was really, really good. And I want to encourage you to come take part in that as well with us. So there's other information in here about some other events, MOPS, youth, some other things. So I want to encourage you to take a look at that as well. God bless.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to know your will and live in your will, Lord, so we'll know your ways, Father, and you can abide in us and we'll abide in you, Father, just so we'll know your ways and your heart in every decision that we make. We just pray that your word will come alive in us, Lord, and nourish our souls and our spirits. Lord, your glorious light come to any dark areas in our lives, Lord, and you are the light and the hope of this world. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless this tithes and these offerings that Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to dismiss our children for Children's Church at this time with Miss Julia. I'd like to ask you, how many of you were able to read our gospel tract to somebody this week? Raise your hands. Okay, several. I want to encourage you, there's some more available in the lobby. Richard Byrd, after the service, will be allowing you to take those. We've run out of the paper that we're printing. We've got it on order about a week or two away, so we're going to limit it to one or two tracts each if you'd like to grab some and use them. And God's already blessing. I've had some folks share. They've led people to Christ with them. And it's exciting to see what God's going to do. Today I want to talk to you about intercession, about prayer. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And we're going to begin in verse 1 and talking about prayer. In this particular passage, we see that the disciples were asking the Lord to teach them to pray. It's funny that they could have asked him to teach them a lot of things and speak, public speak or whatever, different things, but they chose to ask him to teach them to pray because of the power of his prayers and how God responded to his prayers. And so I hope that we'll find some things here that'll be beneficial for us in our prayer life. It's funny about prayer that one of the great Christians, John R. Rice, was the editor of the Sword of the Lord Christian newspaper for decades, and he wrote a book that was called Prayer, Asking and Receiving, which is really kind of the simple concepts that are involved with prayer as we think about it. And we see in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus was an advocacy of importunity. How many of you know what importunity is? Raise your hands. Okay, well, you're going to learn today. Don't worry, if you raised your hand, I wasn't going to call you up here. I've got my own notes, so we'll look at it together. Importunity. And Jesus being an advocate of that, It is in Scripture. In the New American Standard, we see a passage in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 3. Do this then, my son, and deliver yourself. Since you have come into the land of your neighbor, go humble yourself and importune your neighbor. And importunity is actually a persistence, insistence. It's the act of making intrusions and being, I can't read my own writing, being unrepenting in your desires, in your outreach to someone. It's where you're not going to give up, you're not going to quit, you're not going to stop, you're going to be incessant, you're going to be obsessive in your requests. Now, one of the interesting things when we think about prayer with God and this idea of importunity, I've had many say through the years, they say, well, God is omniscient. God knows every ounce of information in the universe. He knows everything. And he knows before we pray, when we're going to pray, he knows what we're going to pray. And so when we ask, and we ask God, and he already knows it, but now we're rehearsing it with him, why do we ever have to ask him again? Why do we have to ever make the request again? Because he knows, he heard it. And some would argue and say it's lack of faith to ask again, you know, to burden God with it again. And because he already knows, he knew, and now you've rehearsed it with him, and it's absolutely known, and it's known that it's coming from your heart. And this is where the Lord Jesus, twice in the book of Luke, emphasizes this importunity, this incessant plea, this plea that will not quit, a persistence in making our requests to God. So let's look at the passage together. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came about that while he was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. We refer to that as the Lord's Prayer. The Catholics call it Our Father, and they use it for penance. Do 10 Our Fathers. And so, and how many of you know the Lord's Prayer? Raise your hands. Okay, we're going to say it together, all right? On the count of three. One, two, three. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And so, you very good students. You all get a star on your notebook today. But that was very, very good. We see, I've entitled the message, The Link Between Our Impotence and God's Omnipotence. Our lack and his supply. And it's important for us to recognize that. Between our impotence and God's impotence, intercession is the blessed link. Andrew Murray, the great prayer warrior, wrote that over 100 years ago. Intercession is the link between our need and God's supply. What we need for ourselves or for others, and what God can do for us and what he can give us. And it's been exciting through the years for Kim and I with our experiments in intercession and prayer. And I've shared some of the more common illustrations with y'all through the years. One that stands out to us, and it's always the specificity of it, is when we were in our first church, Kim was very sick in the pastorium, and one weekday morning, she prayed and she said, Lord, I would be so blessed if I had some strawberries. Some fresh strawberries. And she prayed that. And then a little bit later, one of our senior ladies came by the house and knocked on the door within less than an hour. And she said, Kim, I was at Batten's Farms picking some fresh produce. And the Lord laid on my heart to bring you this and gave her a quart of fresh strawberries. Within an hour. And through the years, I mean, one time, y'all know, back months ago, I was praying for a triangle recycled garbage can to fit in a rack in our kitchen. And I just started praying that, and about a week into that prayer, I'm going through the neighborhood, and here's three of those triangle garbage cans sitting out for the trash. So I go knock on the door. Lady comes to the door. Are you throwing those away? She said, absolutely. I finally prized them out of my husband's hands. Can I have them? Please take them, she said. And, you know, these types of things, the odds of praying, and now you've got a triangle garbage can. I've prayed for diving equipment and had people call, we're moving, Pastor, we're not members of your church, but we've got two BCs, two regulators, two tanks. Do you want them? Absolutely. I've already been praying about it. Just these kind of things, this unusual things. And the fact is, we're not experiencing that. Most of you may say, why doesn't God do that for me? And I've got to ask you, have you been asking him? I would encourage you, every time you need something, pray for it first. Now, that could be a washing machine, a dryer, an automobile, whatever. Pray and ask God and give him the opportunity to give it to you. I shared with you just two or three weeks ago that I was wanting to give Kim a bicycle for Christmas, one of those big tire, big seat, cruiser kind of bikes. And I'd been pricing them for a few months, about 6 months or so. And I could have went and bought one at any time. I could have put it on my credit card. I could have gotten one. And I'm praying, and I go through one of the neighborhoods, and lo and behold, what's set out by the curb. And it needed some touching up. I had the paint matched and repainted it. A couple of our men in the church helped me and cleaned it up, buffed it up, sanded it, and everything. And Kim loves it. And I love it because it cost me $3.75 in paint instead of $150. But the idea of going to God in prayer and praying, and in this particular passage, we see that he leads off, this is an abbreviated version of the Lord's Prayer in Luke, but we see next he goes into a parable. And I'm going to share two parables with you today. These are parables of importunity. These are parables of incessant request, incessant, obsessive, persistent request. And you got to realize Jesus was giving these illustrations, and Jesus was giving them to tell us this is what we need to do in prayer. God's laid a prayer on my heart for us to be running 1,000 by the end of the year. And I've had some members say, well, Pastor, I was praying for 300. But I said, I know it sounds crazy, but that's what I'm praying for. And for God to just move, and these to be additions to the kingdom of God. New believers, people that we've won to Christ, and going out and reaching babies for Jesus, baby Christians, to help them grow in the Lord. So here he is, and he said to them, suppose one of you have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves of bread. They didn't have convenience stores back then. You may not know that. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, inside his home, at midnight, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, Jesus says this, he had to be smiling. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Three loaves, here's six. Leave me alone. How about 12 loaves? Let me give you all the loaves we've got. We're trying to sleep up here. You know, And so Jesus said that he will get what he wants, and then he drives it home after this with additional teaching. And I said to you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened. So here we see the Lord Jesus says, Lord, please teach us to pray. Well, pray in this manner. Now, in the other accounts of the Lord's Prayer, he doesn't say, pray this prayer. He says, pray in this way. Pray in this manner. And then after that, he says, and then pray persistently. Don't back up. Don't give up. Don't relent. Now, there's three things I want to emphasize from this. First of all, our passion motivates us to pray. We see in verse 5, it says, and he shall have a friend. You shall have a friend. And we see that the appeal is an appeal to our friendship with God for our friends. Andrew Murray said, when we go to God as a friend of the poor and perishing, we can count on his friendliness. The idea is you and I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, with God the Father through Christ his Son. We're divinely adopted in the family, and we have the right and the responsibility to make the request. And God is saying, I'm the friend. I'm the friend that can give you the bread. I'm your friend. Now, you've got your friend that came to your house, and I'm your friend. You're the link between your friend and your friend who is God. Years ago in my first church, we had a crazy rough family that lived two houses down from the church. The guy had been a biker guy. He was tatted from his wrists to his waist, all the way around. His armpits had tattoos. He had tattoos all the way up to his neck and all the way. The man was tattooed everywhere. And he was rough. I mean, he had lost a couple of teeth fighting, but he had five kids, the Burke family. And they were rough. The kids were rough. He was rough. And they were like the Herdmans in that Christmas story book. If any of you have ever read that, I'd recommend it or watch the video, and you'll laugh. But this family was like that. And their oldest boy, well, one time Kevin, the dad, was sitting on his tailgate of his truck drinking a six-pack of beer. And one of his little boys was sitting next to him. I think it was Bobby. And he's sitting there drinking. On the back of his truck, on the window, was etched the headless horseman scene. These are rough people. I'm talking to him. I go sit down. And at one point, he told me, he said, I want you to know I told the last pastor all about it and what it was all about. And I grabbed him by the tie and jerked him around a little bit. And when he said that to me, I stepped right up closer to him and I said, Kevin, I wouldn't try that with me. I haven't always been a Christian. And he said, maybe I won't, you know. And, you know, sometimes you got to get a little respect. And so he's sitting on the tailgate and I said, you know, Kevin, you want to know what your boys want to know more than anything in the world? And he said, what's that, preacher? And he hid the beer behind his back. He said, they want to know that their dad is a man of God. Oh, and he turns to Bobby. He says, Bobby, tell the preacher what I tell you all the time. He looked at him. He said, I don't know what you tell me all the time. He said, I tell you to believe in God. He said, you never tell me to believe in God. Just like that. And Kevin kind of flushed a little bit, you know. Well, his oldest son, Floyd, came to the house one time. He's dressed in a ninja costume, and he was a roughie. He was a rough boy and a teenager. You know, he's about probably 16, 17 years old. And he came to the house, and I was talking to him, so I began to witness to him. And he said, well, Pastor, I'm looking for a job. I was wondering if you could refer me for a job. And I said, well, let me pray for it. And then he reaches over, touches my arm, and Floyd said, I can't let you do that. And I said, why not? He said, because I haven't given my life to Christ, to God, and I'm not his, and I don't think I have the right to ask him for things if I'm not his. And I said, Floyd, that is one of the most spiritually astute things anyone in this neighborhood has said to me in 5 years. You're right. And I still begin to witness to him. Well, anyway, it came to a point with his dad, Kevin, and the mom, where the mom was tired of his abuse. She was going to divorce him. And they came down to my office, two houses down, for counseling. And here's Kevin sitting there, big muscle guy, all the tats, crying in my office, just tears dripping on the carpet. She's going to leave me with the five kids. And so I witnessed to him, and Kevin gave his life to Jesus. He prayed to receive Christ. This was like on a Friday. And I talked to him about baptism. He said, okay, I'll get baptized Sunday. So I'll never forget the scene. It's still in my mind right now of Kevin coming into our baptistry with the reputation his family had. Oh, by the way, after he gave his life to Christ, I went over to their house to tell the kids the good news. Dad's saved. He's not going to be abusive anymore. And they were sitting on the window sills and furniture like a pack of hyenas. All five of them, you know, just kind of perched around. And I walked in. I said, good news, kids. Your dad's given his life to Jesus. Two or three of them. Oh, God, does that mean we have to go to church now? I mean, they weren't relieved at all. But that Sunday, seeing Kevin come into the baptistry with the tattooed neck sticking out of the white gown, the tattooed hands and forearms, his arms sticking out, and following the Lord in believer's baptism, I'll never forget it. And it saved their marriage, saved their family, and it helped turn things around. But I'll never forget Floyd saying, I don't have the right to ask God for anything because he's not my father. I'm not his. And it's interesting in Scripture. And you may say, well, I must be saved because God answered my prayers. Sometimes there's a thing called boomerang prayers or rebound prayers where you have a prayer request and your saved spouse, parents, friends are praying for that request. And you're not saved, and they are, and God answers their prayers for the same request you're asking for. So you can't always say, well, I prayed for something and it happened, if you've got other believers that were praying for it. And so we see in this that our love, we've got a friend, we've got a heavenly Father, and he uses that in the rest of this chapter in his discussion of prayer, the father relationship, a good father. And he's wanting to do for us. And so our passion, our love motivates us to pray for others. That's what happened that night. The friend came, no food in the house. They're hungry. They're really hungry. And back then, they were praying for daily bread, bread for one day. And so I've got to feed this friend, this guest that came in so late at night, famished. I've got to do something for him. That passion, that love, that's what you have to do for your friends, your neighbors, your family. Any of you that have lost ones, get passionate about it and start beating the door of heaven, knocking on the door of heaven. And it's interesting that we see, secondly, that our poverty motivates us to pray. In verse 6, I have nothing to set before him. That's what the friend says to the friend in his home with the bread. I don't have anything to give him. And you and I, really, we don't have anything to give another person spiritually. Only God can give it to them. Only God can. We have to ask God to give it to them. We're the link. We're the friend asking for the bread of heaven for our friends. We're making the request. We're interceding. We're intercessors standing in the gap for our friends because of our love. And then thirdly, our persistence motivates us to pray. And he says in verse 8, because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Quitters never win, and winners never quit. Don't give up in prayer. My absolute favorite illustration of this was on visitation down in Miami years ago when I was preaching a revival there. Bennett went with me. And we were down there, and they said, would you go on visitation? I was preaching revival for a church without a pastor. They said, we don't have a pastor. Could you do some visitation while you're here? And I said, sure. I was there for a few nights preaching and the days. And so we went and visited this senior couple. And they said, this woman is one of the godliest women in our church. She never misses. She's been coming for years and years and years. But her husband's an unbeliever. And he's not doing well. May die. In fact, we think he is going to die soon. So we went to visitation. We visited the house. I'm sitting across from the man. He's got the oxygen tube in his nose. And he's watching television. And we ask him if he'll turn it off so we could talk to him. And I begin to witness to him. And at first, he's so indifferent. But then the Spirit of God starts to thaw his heart. And then he says, all right, I'll give my life to Jesus. So I go over, I drop on one knee by his recliner seat, and I grab his hand, and I lead him in the sinner's prayer. He prays to receive Christ. His wife comes out of the kitchen squalling, crying. And she said, oh, this is the greatest day of our life. I've been praying for his salvation for 47 years. 47 years. And then she says, I'll go get us something to drink. She goes back in the kitchen. And the man says, women are very emotional, aren't they? I said, man, she's been praying for you for 47. At that point, I was almost not even that old. I said, she's been praying for you as long as I've been alive. You know, persistence, importunity. Don't give up. Keep knocking. Emma Good, a member of our church, her husband was a Madeline Murray O'Hare atheist. Cussed her out an hour before church and an hour after. Every time Emma came to church, I led him to Christ in intensive care down in Hollywood when they said they weren't sure he was going to make the night. Gave his life to Jesus. She prayed for him, we all did, for several years. Don't give up. Don't quit. If God has laid something on your heart, just keep going, keep going. Now, it's interesting in this passage that we see the illustration of importunity in the last of Christ's teachings here. He says, and I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Now, we see an ever-increasing intensity. It starts with a request. Ask. It begins with this, we're to ask. And then it moves in its urgency from not just asking, but now we're to be seeking. And this is an aggressive looking, an aggressive moving. And then finally, knocking. We'll do that on visitation for years when we'd go up to somebody's door, Nick would say, "Hello, Nick Bennett here," before we rang the doorbell. He was asking. But then we walked up to the door and we were seeking, and then I'm knocking. And knocking is when you're really getting aggressive with it. You start asking, then you start really searching, seeking, looking, and then you start knocking. Now, it's interesting that the woman with the issue of bad blood came up to Jesus in the crowd, and she just reached out and touched his garment and was healed. Sometimes God answers the phone on the first ring. But then there's other times where he puts us on hold. 47 years praying for a lost husband. I'd say she had been put on hold. Sometimes it's the first ring, and sometimes we're put on hold. If you'll look with me also, there's another passage. Look in Luke chapter 18. Just move a few chapters over to Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, and we see Jesus' second parable relating to this importunity. And now he was telling them a parable to show them that at all times, they ought to pray and not to lose heart. We've been praying for years for the overturning of Roe v. Wade, for babies' lives to be born, over 50 years. And we see that, at least nationally, the Supreme Court accomplished that. Now each state needs to follow it through. We need to keep praying. Keep praying. Don't give up. Don't quit. At all times, they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Don't get discouraged. Don't faint in your requests. Kim and I have been praying for First Baptist Church of Stewart to be a great harvesting machine for Christ, a great, great in-gathering place for over 32 years now. And want you to pray that with us, that God would crank us up and get us going. So he says you ought to pray, you shouldn't lose heart, and you need to pray at all times. In fact, it says in the epistles, pray without ceasing. There it was in a certain city, a judge who didn't fear God and did not respect men. There's a lot of judges like that. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent. I want a restraining order," she said. And for a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man," and he was referring also to this lady, "yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming, she wear me out." She's going to wear me out. She's wearing me out. And the Lord said, "Hear what the unrighteous judge said." Jesus said this. Hear what he said. "Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" We saw the other illustration, a friend asking for bread for a friend. Now we see a widow asking for justice for herself. And God says, don't quit. Don't quit. We're praying for this great project that God's placed in front of us. We're praying that God would help us to put a great lighthouse on the 76 corridor. And, you know, some excitement with that. We stopped at one of these trailer vendors yesterday, Kim and I, to get some barbecue. And I talked to him. I said, would you like to be in a location where there's 39,000 cars go by every day? He said, where is it? Give me your phone number. I thought it might be interesting if we fill the front of it for a little while with food trucks. And we could go out there and, you know, get a little sample. And get some folks out there, you know, finding our property and finding our place. And we're talking now. We're going to publish a schedule for you on the project with our sports moving out there from our school and some things that we're doing in the interim. And we're going to place that in your hands in the next couple of weeks. But it's exciting to see what God wants to do. We have to trust Him. We have to be faithful. We have to pray without ceasing. And ask Him, oh Lord, please put that lighthouse there. Put the cross of Christ there on the 76 corridor. Put the light of the Lord Jesus there. To reach not just this county, but all the way up and down the Turnpike and 95, and to reach people for Christ. It's interesting, there's only one church on the 76 corridor, First United Methodist here on Colorado, here in town. There are no others. So I just want to encourage you to be in prayer about these things, not to give up, not to faint, not to lose hope. God is working, and He's going to do some great things, and He's going to get the glory for it. It's not going to be us. It's going to be Him. It's going to be what He did, what Jesus did. We're going to get to brag on Jesus and what He does. I've become a fan now of the Houston football team because of C.J. Stroud, their quarterback, because he loves Jesus with all his heart. And after every single victory, he says, it's all for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't be able to play if it weren't for Him. This is my platform to brag on Jesus. That's so exciting, isn't it? Can I hear an amen? And God gives each of us our platforms. Maybe you're living next door to the Burks. Go witness to them. You might be surprised. They might become better neighbors. You know. And pray. Pray without ceasing. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today, and we thank you so much that you desire for us to continually knock, to continually come, to continually beseech you. And Father, right now, I want to ask you by your Spirit to fill, give a fresh filling of your Spirit to every person here today in this service. Give each one a fresh anointing, a fresh love, a fresh joy, a fresh faith in you. And Lord, if there be anyone here today that doesn't know you personally, I ask you, Almighty God, to knock at their heart's door right now. And I'd like to invite you, whether you're here with us or watching through social media or on the radio, I'd like to invite you right now to ask the Lord Jesus, the living, resurrected Son of God, to come into your heart and life, to be your Lord and Savior. And if you would just say, oh, dear Lord, I know you see me and hear me. Please forgive my sins. Come into my heart. Cleanse me. Take control of me. Live through me. Thank you, dear Jesus, for hearing me. I love you. In Jesus' name, Amen. We're going to extend our invitation now like we do every Sunday and give you an opportunity to respond to God. I want to encourage you to obey Him and do what He tells you to do, whatever that might be. And we will rejoice with you in your obedience and your decision. Let's stand together and sing and you come. Thomas, can you come stand up here with us? And Thomas followed the Lord in believer's baptism today. Mom and Dad, y'all want to stand with him? And we also have Cindy has come this morning. Cynthia Treese. Cynthia, come and stand here with me. And she has come this morning. She's been watching us on Facebook, and she wanted to come and meet us. And she's coming this morning to, she wants to join our family, our fellowship. And let's give her a big hand. Cynthia, when did you give your life to Christ?
I was 9 years old.
9 years old.
At 9 years old, I started following Christ.
Amen. And as you can tell, she was born in Yonkers and Louisiana.
Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge. And are you going to live for Jesus and use your gifts with us?
I sure am.
Amen. Amen. How many of you will make a commitment to pray for Cynthia? Would you raise your hand and say amen? Amen. Amen. And we're excited about Thomas following the Lord today. So when we dismiss, we want to invite you to come by and pray for these and encourage them and show them your love that you always do. And then I want to remind you to see Richard Bird in the lobby if you'd like some more gospel tracks. And I'm going to ask again, how many of you will make a commitment to try to read it to at least one person this week? Would you raise your hands? Amen. Okay, good. Oh, the life group meeting is next week. Good. I'll watch the playoffs this afternoon. Yeah. So the life group meeting, I think I announced it this afternoon. It's next week. And we will be discussing what Baptists believe. And we're opening this meeting up for any of you that'd like to come. We'll meet in the back at 4. Thank you for that correction, Kim. Good. Very good. David, do you have anything? Okay, that's enough. Good. All right. Praise God. So let's have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Come greet these dear ones. Father, we just want to tell you we love you and thank you and praise you for your mighty Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for Thomas's obedience. We thank you for Cynthia's obedience and adding her to the life of our fellowship. And we just want to tell you we love you and praise you and thank you for these two dear ones. And thank you for our people. I ask you to bless them, anoint them, and give them a spirit-filled week in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, honors and AP middle school program, and high school dual enrollment. Our STRIVE program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. STRIVE offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stewart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why Life Group Bible Studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible. And how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other. And Sunday morning Life Group Bible Study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult Life Group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this Life Group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our Life Group Bible Studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have Life Group Studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the 4-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. www.firstbaptist-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stewart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstewart.org and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options. And then there, if you would check radio broadcast supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, "Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.